You know, Ron just made motion to me that I should put my mic on, and then I forgot to turn it on, and, you know, so Ron reminds me of all, thanks for taking care of me, you know what I mean? I'm an old man, I forget all these kinds of things. This morning we're going to be talking about the joy of Christmas, and as the banners we have in our church, you'll see that one of them says, "Joy to the World." And when I think of the joy of Christmas, I got to be honest, and Jeff Armstrong is probably going to amen me on this, but when I thought about the joy of Christmas, I think about our age bracket, Jeff. You know, and you know what the first thing I thought of when I thought about the joy of Christmas? No? I thought about Three Dog Night. You know? It shows you the sinner that I am, right? I mean, I should be thinking about the joy of Jesus, right? And it was joy to the world. And I half toyed with the idea of playing one of the lines of their song, because it says, "Joy to the world." Yeah.
Oh. Boys and girls, now joy to the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me.
There you go. There you go. That's it. That's it. And yeah. But then when I thought about that, I thought, well, you all probably wouldn't like that in the morning service, so I decided not to do that. But then I got more spiritual, and I thought about real joy, and then I started thinking about last night and the party that we had, and it was such a fun time. And Kaylee Sue. I thought about Kaylee Sue. When you think about joy, right, in our church at Franklin Hill, she's the embodiment of joy.
Amen.
You know, she really is.
I'll go with that.
She, yeah, I mean, if you know Kaylee Sue at all, and Bill and she were rejoicing together last night, and got to meet Bill, and he was there last night, and we're so thankful to get to know him a little bit and pray for him and so forth. And he promised me that he was going to be at the Christmas Eve service. So Shirley, see, your prayers are being heard. And it's good to see Mike and Lois here too. Thank you for coming.
Mike,
coming again. We love you. You're just down the road. So thanks for coming. So we're going to be talking about the joy of Christmas and the baby, yeah, aw, right, who said that, Shirley, yeah, you know, what greater joy, I was looking for pictures of babies, and there's a ton of them out there, but I thought this one was really super cute, because, you know, what greater joy can there be than what a newborn baby can bring, and when I looked at this picture, I said what Shirley said. And that was that this, whoops, yeah, that he's cute, right? And the good news is, going back to the angel and what we just read, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. Great joy. That will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So, the good news about this baby is that he's more than cute. Now, you know, I saw a baby last night. I think it was Kathy's grandchild. Is that correct? Yeah. You know, I can't remember names half the time, and then when you ask me to how you're related to this one and that one, I'm totally lost. So forgive me if I, you know, get it messed up. But anyway, that baby was really cute, you know, and smiling and so forth. And then I saw the newest born baby with Trevor and Shannon, and that baby's cute. Are all babies cute? Well, some of you are saying no, And those of you that are saying no, I agree with you. Not every baby is cute, but some of you might believe that. But anyway, we got cute babies that are being born. We're going to grow this church one way or another, right? And we got a lot of new babies coming into the world here. But Jesus, and from everything we know, because the scripture says that he was not I'll paraphrase, that he was not a good-looking guy. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some of the literature would say about Jesus. So maybe he wasn't a cute baby. But cute doesn't really enter in here, because Jesus, as a baby, he was, in Isaiah 9:6, prophesied 800 years before the birth of Christ. It was prophesied that Jesus was going to be born, and he was going to have these names that are laid out. We're going to take a look at here in a moment. But one of the things about this baby is, the primary thing about this baby is, he's more than cute, and maybe he wasn't cute. That doesn't matter. What matters is his name, Jesus, literally the good news, the gospel, for all people, no matter who you are, as the reading said this morning. No matter who you are, black, white, brown, whatever it is, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I like that. You know, it doesn't matter. See, what matters is that Jesus is the good news for all people. Oh, do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. You better, because that's the very name of Jesus. Savior. Good news. And the good news. So what is the good news? The good news and joy is found in his name. Now, I didn't look up. Do y'all know what your name means? I don't. Caesar, what does your name mean? Jim, what's this? Jim? There's meanings to our names, right? And some of us have looked into what our name means. I have not. I'm almost afraid to look at what my name might mean. But Jesus was given a lot of different names because of who he is. Okay? And the good news and the joy is found in all of the names of who he is. He was called Wonderful Counselor. Now, I counseled, as you know, for many, many years. I don't know as I was ever called a wonderful counselor, but even if I was, it would be very, very different than Jesus, because the word in the Hebrew means incomprehensible. Literally, in the Hebrew, the word wonderful means incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend how wonderful and good news this is to our world. And then counselor. You know, I would like to think that God used me in various ways when I counseled. And I know that he did in various ways. But there's no way. There is no way. No comparison to Jesus as a counselor. You know, I can imagine going to Jesus and saying, okay, what do I do, Jesus? Right? I've got this problem. And whatever Jesus said, and he encountered many problems throughout his life as he was growing up, and had all kinds of people coming to him. And whatever advice he gave, it was perfect. He didn't have to worry about, you know, whether it was the right advice, right? It was perfect. And a lot of what he said was things that really didn't make sense to you and I. Incomprehensible. That's how wonderful he was. God incarnate. And that's why we were talking about Sunday school. And if you're not coming to Sunday school again, I would urge you to come, because, man, we have some great conversations, don't we, Jan? And wonderful questions. And Joe gets to preach a little bit there, too. So, you know, I said to Julie, I feel sorry for her because she has two preachers sitting in on Sunday school. So, but we have a good time. And we were talking about this, that, you know, about various religions and so forth. And, you know, we have all kinds of people searching for truth, all kinds of people searching for God, somehow, some way to find God. And we have, here's the good news. It says, right, there's only one way to come to the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Search no more, right? World, hear it. World, hear it. Boy, that ought to be our prayer this Christmas. Lord, hear this, right? May the people hear this. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's incomprehensible, right? How wonderful this good news is. This baby is the embodiment. And I thought if somebody brought a baby today, I'd ask if I could hold it, but whether they would trust me with that or not, I don't know. But this baby, Jesus, right? This baby that we would hold, right? Or that we would see lying in the manger, that the shepherd saw. He is the embodiment of all knowledge. You understand that? All knowledge. Truth and wisdom. And some of you may have heard that all truth is God's truth. Is that true? Silence. Got to think about that. Oh, well, you can argue, I guess, both ways on that. But absolute truth, I will say, that is from God himself. Absolute truth. Now, scientists might argue, well, this might be true or that might be true. And the key word is might, right? But absolute truth only comes from God himself. Absolute truth is only found in God's word. And this baby, right, vulnerable, he comes. He's the embodiment of all knowledge, all truth, all wisdom. And wisdom only comes from God. Knowledge, we can gain some knowledge from books and so forth. But wisdom only comes from God. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And that only comes from God himself. One of the other names that Jesus is called is Mighty God. Mighty God. His name shall be called Mighty God, Isaiah 9:6. And I'm one of these, I never considered myself to be a nerd. Jeff, be quiet. But I'm picking on Jeff, and I have no reason because he doesn't pick on me anymore. So, keep okay. Paybacks are coming. Okay. But I get into the Hebrew and the Greek and what the words mean literally. And Mighty God means in the Hebrew, there is no greater power. No greater authority. There is no greater. No matter how the politicians might think about themselves, no matter how Putin thinks about himself as a dictator, there is no greater power. You know, Hitler thought that about himself, right? There's no greater power. And Hitler, you know, wielded his power in evil, 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 evil ways, right? And I don't know, I didn't live during that time, but I'm sure that there were people thinking, where is God? Where is God? We got this dictator that's killing, indiscriminately killing, whoever he wants, whenever he wants.
How about Joseph Stalin?
Yeah, Stalin's another one. Stalin's another one, right? But what happened to Hitler? What happened? Where is he? Yeah, suicide. That's where that kind of power goes, right? There's no greater power than Jesus Christ. No greater authority than Jesus Christ. And he is living right now. He's living. And if you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, which I hope you have, then he indwells within you. And if he does, and if you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, then greater is he that is in you than any politician, than any king, than any queen, than any dictator. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mighty God! Are you happy about that?
Amen.
Yeah, you should be. Everlasting Father, he's called. And some of you might be scratching your head and say, well, wait a minute. I've always thought about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The Trinity, which again is something that's very, very difficult for us to wrap our arms around and understand. So why was he called Everlasting Father? Well, again, you go to the Hebrew, and everlasting means eternal or without end. See? And then he says in John 10:30, I and the Father are what?
One.
I and the Father am one. See? Jesus was called the Son of God because he came to earth as Jesus took on the form of a human being, and even less than a human being, a slave, a bond slave, chose to be a slave for you and for me, God himself, right? The everlasting Father. He and the Father are one, and there's no way to come to the Father but by
the Son.
See? Now, one of the other names that he's called is Prince of Peace. And John 14:27, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus speaking. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. And if there's ever a time that we live, you know, you turn on the news, and boy, it's not good, is it?
Nope.
And what they do is they have instilled fear within all of us. And they, fear and anger, and I don't know as I've ever lived, and I've lived 73 years now, and there's never been a time, I don't think, that I can ever remember when there's been so many people anxious, fearful, and angry about what? You know, I'm amazed that, and even within our own church, you know, within our own hearts, what do we get angry about? When things don't go the way that we want them to go, right? And then what do we do? What do we do? Right? Do we harbor the anger? What do we do with it?
Give it to Jesus.
Give it to Jesus. And God has called us to what? To peace. To be at peace with one another. And if we can't be at peace here in this congregation, then what do we have? We need to be at peace. We need to be united. We need to be on the same page. We need to be proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get angry, or call it whatever you want, disappointment or agitation or whatever it is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You going to carry it? Or are you going to turn from it? Say, you know what? maybe I don't like that. But you know what? Hey, there's something bigger here. And that's about the Lord Jesus Christ and me proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ to Franklin Hill and beyond. That's what it's all about. I should hear an amen on that.
Amen.
Yeah. Joel, amen? Yeah, there we go. I need another preacher here to amen, you know what I mean? Prince of Peace. And this is all great, great, great news. Think what it would be like. I said in Sunday school this morning, think what it would be like. Just think for a moment what it would be like if we all had each other's back. Right? Instead of being so critical or whatever it is, if we all had each other's back, wow, would we be at peace? Yeah, we really would. Yeah. And Carolyn does a lot of posting on Facebook. You have something on there every day, don't you? Just about. Yeah. I always love, if you're not Carolyn's friend, friend her, because whatever she puts on Facebook is very, very encouraging. Very, very encouraging. And it's all about loving each other, being united. Carolyn, thank you for the things you post. And I usually look at her post and say amen or like it at least, you know, or love it, you know. And what would happen if we all had each other's back, right? Next week we're going to be talking about the love, right? The love that came down. And I think it was Jan that was saying, you know, that's really what it boils down to, you know. The two greatest commandments. To love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and soul. And then what? Then what, Jan? Do you remember? Yeah. Love your neighbor or love others as yourself. What would happen if you loved those who disagree with you, like yourself, like yourself? What would happen, right? What would happen if you loved that one that you're angry with? What would happen if you loved that one that you find it very difficult to forgive? You know? And I think about marriage even. You know, the marriages that last and last and last and last and last. And some of you have been married for a very, very long time. How long have you guys been married? 60 years. 61. All right, so there's an example of disagreement, right? But there's unity there, right? And would you still be married if you didn't forgive him? No. See, I'm not going to ask you how many times you have to forgive him. And Bob, I'm not going to ask you how many times you need to forgive her, right? But the marriages that last have to do with forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Amen. See? And do we disagree? Yeah, yeah. Deb and I disagree almost daily in one way or another. And she says things that blow my mind. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. God love her, right? And God calls me to love her and to forgive her. And, you know, what would it be like if we all forgave one another? What greater time of year than right now? To look at your heart and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Right and wrong. You know, it's not about right and wrong. Jan, you got it. It's about love. Right? It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about, do I love you? Do I love you as God has... I'm getting ahead of myself. That's next week's... Kathy's going, yeah, you're getting ahead of yourself there, right? But God calls us to love, to peace. And what does it mean to be joyful? You know, joy, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but joy is different than happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. You know, we're going to be opening gifts. Some of us don't even give gifts anymore because we've been married so long that we have everything we could ever want, right? But what happens, yeah, I'm going to be going over to see my grandchildren open up gifts on Christmas morning. And I'm so glad that I'm able to be there to watch them open their, because they're so happy, right? And they're so giggly and bubbly and right? All it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see. Wonderful to see happy grandchildren, isn't it? You know? And that's happiness. But joy, and this is why the Apostle Paul says, you know, to be joyful even when there are trials and tribulations in our life. Are you going to be happy, you know? And we have a number of men, as was said, waiting for results and more tests and so forth. Now, are you happy to, I know Joe had to go through a grueling time here a bit ago with some biopsies. Were you happy about that, Joe?
I wasn't exactly ecstatic.
No. Yeah. So there's honesty for you right there, right? How did I know that, right? Well, because we're not going to be happy when trials and tribulations come along, right? So then why does Paul say, consider it all joy? What? You got to be kidding me. What? Consider it all joy? Well, joy is different than happiness. Because joy is a daily abiding that believes, trusts, and is lived out in all that Jesus is to us at this Christmas and every day. It's an abiding. And when I think of abiding, and I think of you guys, you know, so many of you, I think of Kathy, you know, with Sandy, right, and the health issues. And I think of Bonnie with Dan and now Joe. And you're abiding. You know, you're abiding. Okay? That's what joy is. It's not, I'm not gonna be happy about, you know, the tests. And I may not be happy about the results, but I can abide in the peace and in the joy that I have because of who Christ is and who Christ is to those that are being tested. And my day's coming, you know? Your day's coming.
Amen.
Are we going to be joyful? And when I thought about that, I thought about Bob Pratt. When I visited him in the hospital, Caesar went with me a time or two, and Joe was there. And was he joyful? Yeah, he was. He was at peace. Now, was he happy? I can tell you he wasn't. Was he happy? No. See? But he was joyful. He kept reflecting on the scriptures and applying the scriptures. And I could see him when he was ushered into heaven, just smiling. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. So here's my challenge this morning as I close. Do you want this joy that is unspeakable, that is almost incomprehensible? It comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him and abiding in him. We believe, we trust, and we live it out. We live it out. And I think about you, Bill. You're tough. You know? Bill perseveres. You know, he's been in pain for, I don't know, how long? A long, long time. Maybe not a couple years, but within, I don't know, what, months anyway. Six months, been in a lot of stomach. And every time I talk, how you doing? I'm doing okay. Okay? Abiding, believing, trusting, living that out. Anyway, I was thinking about Bill, I'm there, man. I can't imagine what it's like to when you eat. I love to eat. When you eat and there's pain, you know. But abiding, living out Jesus Christ to come into your life and say, you know what? I want to start living.